and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 648.
That's right. It is time once again for GL June, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of, what is this, the fourth annual? Third annual? Fourth.
I think it is.
Welcome to this idea that sprang from Mark's
loins.
Yeah. Still going strong, man.
Yeah, it's gotta. Yeah,
probably shouldn't use the turn of phrase "still going strong" after using the term "loins."
Take it as a compliment. I'll keep. But you're right. This is number four. I'm double checking.
Yeah.
So we did Circle of Fire. We did the
Siege of the Zishram.
And we did a Recharge.
Yep.
So yes, that will be our main topic for the evening. If we get to kick it off this year, we didn't stake that claim. It fell into our hands, so we're not unhappy with it. But
yeah, we gave everybody else the choice before we just took whatever was left. But it turns out we're kicking off the whole damn thing.
Not bad doing that.
But right. If we want to get into it, what are we starting with?
Yeah, so we're gonna go through some preliminary fights before the main event.
Some general housekeeping.
Yes. We have a bunch of stuff. Shouldn't take too long, but some of it's interesting nonetheless. So let's begin with the easiest stuff. What Mark has seen. Two things on the list now, because I went to the movies last night, which is why we're recording this on Thursday instead of Wednesday. I saw Mandalorian and Grogu, and I saw Passenger. Passenger was last night's movie. So Mandalorian and Grogu, I want to say more about this probably next week's episode, because I want to see where the box office goes on this. I thought it was serviceable. I enjoyed it. Was it basically just what I think a lot of people expected it to be, just an extension, just like a on-screen four episodes of the show put together, or maybe three episodes put together to be a movie-length production? Did it feel like it could have been an arc in the show? Yeah, it felt like it could have been. I enjoyed it.
Like a Doctor Who Christmas special.
Yeah.
You know, one big episode of Doctor Who, like the Day of the Doctor.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So it didn't seem that much different than some of the, like a mini arc or something inside a season or something they could have done. Let's put it this way. If they did a Disney Plus Mandalorian and Grogu movie, would this have felt very much different? Do I think? No, it would have felt pretty much the same. It was fine for what it was. Yeah, like I said, I think I'm going to talk more about this next week. But I think it might be getting too much flack from you know how it's performing box office wise, because it made about 102-ish for the 4-day Memorial Day weekend. That, which of course is not great compared to episodes, but it's kind of in the Solo A Star Wars Story range, which people have kind of expected it to be. But I don't think. I think a lot of people were looking for this movie to fail from a financial perspective, and I think that is all unfortunate. Unfortunately, is the case in many aspects of the media these days. That you know, when you set the bar where you want it to go, and then you kind of make sure, no matter what, you pick the facts to kind of go along with what you believe in, no matter what. And you just leave out anything that may make it look a little better. But again, we'll have a better idea of this once the second weekend comes and goes. I liked Passenger. It was a little different than I expected as a horror movie based on the trailer. Not very different, but probably a little longer than it needed to be. It seemed like it dragged at times, but it had an interesting premise. And the lead actress was pretty cool. So that was good. And from the other big conversation point at a Memorial Day weekend was how Obsession, last week's topic when we talked about movies, up friggin' 39% in its second weekend, which is almost unprecedented to have anything, especially over the summer, to be able to jump up that much, especially when it's not like this movie had a massive expansion of theaters. That would be different if it was a limited release and had really, really massive buzz, and then it just you gain like 1,000 or 1,200 or 1,500 theaters in its second week. It didn't really do that. I think it gained like 40 or 45 theaters across the country, but its box office was close to up 40%, which is amazing, which is probably what hurt Passenger too. At the box office, because Obsession took a lot of the business. Let's roll into toys a little bit, because actually this was a relatively big week for toys as we're finishing this up. The on Entertainment Earth, which of course now is currently sold out for pre-order, but Entertainment Earth had Wave 13 of the DC Superpower McFarlane figures. That was an Entertainment Earth exclusive, which I think had three good figures, one okay figure, and two figures I don't care about.
But two you don't care about being Earth 2, Robin, and Supergirl?
Earth 2, Robin, and Power Girl.
Oh, see, I would just because we don't get the 80s Power Girl with that hair anymore, that classic costume, that's such a rare version to get.
You are correct. Well, first of all, I mean, before I even delve into these figures, what kind of sucked is they forced everybody to buy a case.
Yeah.
They did not make these available individually, which did suck. Which actually gave me pause for like a minute, because I was in the middle of helping my mom with something. She got a new phone and her visual voicemail was not working. So we were on the phone with support. So I didn't have much time to screw around with this when it dropped on Tuesday. The Tuesday after Memorial Day at noon Eastern time. So I really debated for a second, but it had Cyborg Superman. It had the Eradicator, as in the Last Son of Krypton, Reign of the Superman Eradicator. It had an actual 1990s Hal Jordan with gray temples that I don't have to actually customize. Those were the three winner figures in this. And yes, Earth 2 Robin, Supergirl, and Power Girl. It was a pretty good wave. I almost wish they had one more thing tied into Reign of the Superman. Maybe like take out Earth 2 Robin and throw at least Mongol or somebody in there that would have made it Superboy, Steel, something. Because it's a very 90s wave to begin with. But it would have been cooler to make it more themed. But this case was $80 plus free shipping. It won't come out to August. So the odds are Entertainment Earth will probably get more once they come into stock. But their pre-sales were now sold out.
Yeah.
I assume you didn't get any of these?
No, I didn't, just because I can't. My battery in my car died the other day unexpectedly, so that was like a random $130 I was not anticipating out. And and the fact they made you buy the entire wave. As much as I like the Power Girl, I was never going to buy one. I was never going to go get anything other than, Great Temple's Hal Jordan. So it's so hard not to call him Parallax Hal Jordan or whatever.
Yeah. These days, or like, Gerard Jones Hal Jordan.
That's, yeah, yeah.
You could very easily label him that way, too. Well, you could have a Power Girl now.
Instead of Gerard Jones, I'm just going to say Pat Broderick Hal Jordan.
Come on, man. Stop living in the cancel society world that we live in. Let's make a stand, Chad. The story still exists. Hey, Mosaic is Gerard Jones.
I'm not a big fan of Mosaic, to be honest with you.
Well, I know, but we know we revisited that long ago with the Thorn run.
Yeah. Oh, anyways, I was going to say, I like the Eradicator, and actually I like the Cyborg Superman figure more than the Eradicator, but despite not being like a big Death and Return of Superman person and, you know, having a favorite among the four different Supermen, I still thought the Eradicator was a cool ass costume. Yes. And I think it interprets really well in this superpowers style that they've got going on here. But I personally think, artistically and sculpt wise, they did a really good job on Cyborg Superman. So I was tempted to get that one beyond just Hal, but I'm not buying on the whole wave.
I don't like, obviously, the cape structure they do with these guys. I mean, it becomes more of an issue with the Eradicator, since the Eradicator, Reign of the Superman Eradicator, has a very distinctive cape. because of the way it arc, it juts upwards and then cuts back. And then, because if I remember his costume correctly, the S-shield and the cape are all one piece. That it literally goes over his underlying blue and black costume. But still, yeah, you don't get that many Eradicators. And to be fair, this as a figure, this is much better than the McFarlane one that came out last year that I never should have ordered because I knew it, because the sculpt is, it was the same sculpt as the one that came out before. They just repainted it. But moving off of that, let's move on to the cooler thing for Green Lantern fans, the Thrilljoy Pix Green Lantern Emerald Warrior figure, which is already shipping depending on where you ordered it from. Which is funny because I saw this. This came to my attention when somebody posted it on Myron's Facebook page. So I clicked on the link and put a reminder in to be reminded when this came on sale from Thrilljoy itself. And I did get the email, which is impressive because sometimes you sign up for crap and you don't get it, or you get it like 2 days after something becomes available again. But I actually ordered it on Big Bad Toy Store first. I ordered two pre-ordered. And then I noticed the email, and then I ordered two from Thrilljoy, and my first two shipped really quick. So then I said, well, I'm going to order two more from Thrilljoy, and they ship too. So depending on what we get out of that, maybe I'll cancel my pre-order on Big Bad, because Big Bad Entertainment Earth is sold out of these. So if you want to get them, Thrilljoy still has them currently in stock as of the time of recording, and so does Big Bad. So the cool thing about this is it's Hal Jordan with a smirk on his face. So you got to love that. Mm-hmm. So the regular Green Lantern is really cool with the energy, you know, coming out of his ring. Now, but super cool is that there's not just one Chase figure in this set, there's two. That you have a 1 in 6 chance, much like the sodas, the Funko Pop soda pops, that you have a 1 in 6 chance of getting White Lantern Hal. Which does look awesome. I mean the green and, you know, the green and the white are great. But you also have a 1 in 48 chance of getting Chip. So that is the what do they call it? The Super Chase. So if you looked at it from a perspective, if you just for the sake of math, if you figure a case is 6 figures, it basically means that there's one Chip in like every 8 cases. The other 7 will have the White Lantern Hal as the variant, and that one case out of 8 would have Chip instead. So I ordered, like I said, currently technically I have 6 of these ordered, and I really just want one white, you know, and I'm expecting to have at least 3 greens. Would I be happy if I got Chip along with a white and a green Hal? Yes, but if I was going to sacrifice one, I would sacrifice Chip because I want the White Lantern Hal.
I just think it's cool because Chip in the comics is literally a cartoon squirrel come to life. So like to have a figure of a very cartoonish looking squirrel Green Lantern, I just think that's cool. Because like if Chip were real, he would have a comically large head, you know. You know, like he would be wearing this weird classic Silver Age version of the costume where it looks like a bodysuit
over his little pot belly.
Yeah. So like he would look just like this just in real life. Just so like he's just a scaled down version of what he would be in reality if he were to step off the comic page. So,
I mean, it's a cool variant. It's just one of those things where you, as cool as it is and as more rare as it is, I certainly wouldn't want it more than a 1 in 6 White Lantern out.
That's true. I have said before that if I were to collect only one lantern type beyond Green Lantern figures, and like I wouldn't ever get a Red Lantern, wouldn't ever get a Yellow Lantern, I would collect White Lantern figures. I've got a few of them already, but I gotta have that White Lantern Hal. Like, yeah, I would like Chip, and I would like Green Lantern Hal, but I gotta get the White Lantern Hal at some point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and the truth is, we know Green Lantern Hal is gonna be pretty readily available. Even now on eBay, you can get. I mean, I forget what the shipping is, but you can get like for $12.99, you can get like, not counting the shipping, you can get a guaranteed green. For $12.99, because these go for $19.99. So finding a green is not and because it's 8,888 pieces, which is weird because does not divide evenly by 6 or 12 or 8. I've yet to find out exactly the highest number it divides into, but I know it does not divide. It's not going to be an even though if it was a case of 6, let's put it this way, it doesn't match up perfectly with the number of figures that they made. But nonetheless, it's cool, and the fact that, you know, the silver parts of the White Lantern just pops so much. And they even did a nice job with the rings on it. It looks like the rings are pretty just... So I am very, very looking forward to those. And like I said, I'll be happy if I can get one, at least one White Lantern. And go ahead.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of Mattel stuff that's starting to come out. We knew there were, we were going to get a John Stewart figure. We've been starting to see from various conventions and shows, you know, as Mattel does, you know, the circuit and stuff, these toys be on display. So we've seen John. He's coming, it looks like, with a construct chest plate, a construct fist, and a construct gun. So that will be fun to have. Interesting. The other thing that was really out of left field is the Mattel Batman and Green Lantern Hal Jordan versus Mr. Freeze three-pack playset thing. Comes with all three of those figures. Yeah, Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, also looks like he has a construct fist, but instead of a fist at the end of it, it's just a saw blade. And then there's Mr. Freeze has got a weapon, but there's also like this icicle chest plate that can attach to Hal, so it looks like you know his freeze blast has hit Hal in the chest. And then Batman obviously comes with a bunch of batarangs and weapons and guns that fire actual projectiles and stuff like this. But it was just weird that, like, we started off, okay, John Stewart, makes sense. They're doing lanterns. He's one of the big lantern, Earth lanterns to feature. Okay, that makes sense. But the very next thing we see from Mattel is Hal Jordan in a three-pack with Mr. Freeze and Batman.
Now, these are all technically still from the non-collectors line, I believe. These are the kid-friendly line, I think.
I think the John Stewart is technically labeled as the collector line. In terms of when I first saw the article that featured these pictures, they referred to it as the collector line.
Yeah, but I don't know what the other line is called. I thought, I could be wrong based on what I've read anyway. I don't know if we've actually seen any of the highest end Mattel figures yet. I think we're seeing the baseline. I could be wrong. But that's at least what I've heard, is that so far we haven't really seen the equivalent of what McFarlane is supposed to be doing now, which is mixed results. We haven't seen that. But either way.
But the Hal in this three-pack looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. We should be happy, because you have to be nervous about potentially, I think, Hal being kind of phased out as a merch. Either maybe not as much merchandising, but... out of the books, I'm really concerned as Lanterns comes closer, that DC might make the mistake that Marvel has done, mistake to a certain extent, but embrace what's going on in their cinematic universe and tying and focusing that and tiering their books to kind of match that in the characters that are getting a big push, because that might not bode well for Hal. So it's a good sign. That's why I'm kind of impressed we even got, even though this is McFarlane and we know, but I'm kind of impressed we got this Gray Hal. Gray Temple Hal in that super powers line, because that is rather an obscure mind to go into.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah, that's it for toys.
Yes, that's it for toys. So our last topic for now, before we roll into Brave and Bold and the Bold, that let's do Green Lantern sales, which is interesting on two levels. More interesting about... it's arguably more interesting... from the perspective of the analysis and the sloppy cross-referencing of numbers and the actual sales numbers, but I'll explain that in a second. So let's do, the one we care absolutely the least about, Green Lantern, Absolute Green Lantern, number 13, did move up from number 30 to 18. So that book that had been in decline for the last few months obviously kind of picked back up again. So if it was hemorrhaging, it does not seem like it's on it's on a death spiral. So that's for those who care.
Was that the Star Sapphire issue?
I don't even remember.
I don't got a lot of buzz when it happened.
I don't. You mean the Hal issue?
Yeah, the Hal issue where he goes Star Sapphire.
I mean, probably, yeah, because there's been one more issue since, and that, and with when Tomar had more in it, I think, in it. So I think you were correct. But that one moved up to number 18, so at least the bleeding has stopped from Absolute for now. Now let's move to Green Lantern Core. Green Lantern Core moved all the way up to 103. Now, of course, Comic Book Revolution says it moved up from 150, which is incorrect. It moved up from 158. Remember that, because we'll come back to it in a moment when it's more important. But the fact that Green Lantern Corps jumped all the way up, almost, you know, into the top 100 when it was in the 150s the month before, that's very impressive. And maybe not surprising, considering how one book is doing storytelling-wise versus the other. And now we get to Green Lantern 34, which, congratulations, Chad, you win our bet, because Green Lantern 34 only ended up being number 87, and it was 68 the month before, even though for some stupid reason Comic Book Revolution couldn't cross-reference correctly, and they said it moved up from 117, which is completely wrong, that it went down. It went from 68 to 87, so we dropped almost 20 spots.
To be fair, I did say, like, the 90s, though. I mean, I know I'm close, but I technically, if we're going by what I said... I said the 90s.
Yeah, you were knocking on the door, because even I said that I was based on the idea that even if it held on to half of what it gained, that it would have, that still would have put it, like, it would have been close to, I think it would have still been over 100, but even if it was just slightly more than 50%, it only would have been like about 96 or something. Mm-hmm. So it dropped, and we expected it to drop, and Lord knows it would be shocking, especially after the issue that just came out this week. That is not that it will, that if that doesn't start hemorrhaging sales, I don't know what will, because, man, that issue is not a good Green Lantern issue at all.
And so if you want to hear why, yes, subscribe now.
yes. Next week we'll do the review on this, and it's not gonna be pretty. But I just as a slight tease, I guess I think Chad and I are probably in agreement on this, that as bad as the solicit made that issue sound in advance, I would probably say it might have been even worse than the solicit, but it was, at the very least, it was at least as bad as we expected it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I think
You know what's bad when you're like, you're asking me, like, all right, so what comes out next week? And I'm scrolling through the releases and I can't tell it's a Green Lantern issue from scrolling through the covers. Because the entire cover is Odyssey getting out of a limo with a bunch of paparazzi around her.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. We'll talk about it more next week. The focus on Odyssey is just mind-boggling. The fact that the issue is told, it's called a filler episode, is either being ridiculously self-aware or be ridiculous or head buried in the sand. One of the two, I'm not quite sure.
Neither are good.
You know, you're right. There is no winner in the interpretation battle of this. But it's either being ridiculously self-aware of what you're doing or being completely oblivious. And in this case, neither one is good. But, you know, Jeremy's going to be giving us something about why we should give a rat's, you know what, about Odyssey at some point. I don't think we're going to care when it happens. And by the time we get to it, knowing Jeremy, that it's probably going to be like five issues too late. But I don't understand what's going on in that book. And yeah, this would have been a book that if we didn't have to read this for the show, this would probably be a point where I would say, I'm going to skip a couple of issues and just go online and get the summary of what happened. But I don't really think I need to be reading this or getting it myself. But that's whetting the appetite for next week's episode.
But if there's no further ado, we should head into GL June, right?
Yes, the an issue which is enjoyable to read.
Yeah, so if you guys aren't familiar, since I guess we're kicking off the whole thing, The Flash and Green Lantern, The Brave and the Bold was a six-issue series put out by Mark Waid, Tom Peyer, and Barry Kitson. And it was basically just this fun celebration of the friendship and bond between Hal Jordan and Barry Allen. And at some point, just the partnership and friendship between Flashes and Green Lanterns. It definitely touched on that as well, as you will see in future issues covered by our friends in across GL June. But this first, before we even go into that, Mark, were you reading this as it came out? Because I know you were collecting at the time.
I know I have some of the issues, and I know I have this issue because I remember the cover. And I would have to go back and look at all the covers again to see if I have every single cover. But then again, that could be misleading because a lot of the covers are pretty memorable on this. So like the Star Sapphire cover and things like that. If I had to hazard a guess, I would say I probably do have all of these issues individually. That's what I would guess because I was collecting and it was Hal. What year was this
again? 19. So the cover date for the issue we're going over tonight, issue 1 of 6, is October of 1999.
Okay.
So that would have come out 2 months before.
Yeah, that would make sense because at this point, what Hal would have been the Spectre. He should have been, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But so Hal still wasn't Green Lantern. So getting Hal Green Lantern stories were rare. Hal wasn't quite the dirty word that he was in the from like 93 going forward. But still, yeah. So the odds are I probably do have this series.
Yeah, I obviously didn't discover it until later. But this was always an interesting thing to just kind of have in your collection because, man, don't we wish they would do something like this right now?
As long as Jeremy's not writing it.
I guess. But let's
sorry, Jeremy.
Let's get into it. So this is Flash and Green Lantern, The Brave and the Bold, issue number 1 of 6. Our storytellers are Mark Waid, Tom Payer, Barry Kitson. Our colorist is Laverne Hinjerski. Our digital chameleon is the Separator. Ken Lopez is our letterer, and Peter Tomasi is our editor. And, of course, some credit goes to, of course, John Broom, Carmine Infantino, Gil Kane, and Julie Schwartz for inspiration. This story is called Those Who Worship Evil's Might. This is an early interaction between Hal and Barry in their friendship. The two are set to visit each other, and Barry is supposed to be on his way to Coast City to meet Hal for just a party and getting to know each other sort of a thing. On the flight into Coast City, which incidentally Barry missed, somebody acts like they're about to hijack the plane. Suddenly they get hit by a beam of energy and a shadow duplicate comes out from behind them that apparently nobody else can really see or can't really tell what's going on. This dude drops his weapon and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like there was something inside of me. And then this shadow creature forces the guy to off himself on the plane. So this is all happening without the knowledge of our heroes. Hal is waiting for Barry to get off his plane, but Barry never showed up. So Hal calls Barry. He's still doing paperwork over in Central City. So Hal uses a early, you know, Silver Age style version of his powers and teleports Barry through the phone line using his energy to his physical person there in Coast City. And the two drive off to go to a Ferris aircraft party where Hal's obviously being a very big socialite and Barry is just kind of people watching in the corner. The one of the guests there who's hitting on Carol at that moment happens to get hit with this beam of energy that we saw from earlier, and a shadow creature comes out from behind him. Our heroes suit up, and Hal realizes his beam is just disappearing into the shadow, so he decides to fly into the shadow, and Barry gives chase. They end up on another planet where a being who looks kind of like Martian Manhunter captures them and tells them that his race is being invaded and trying to be conquered by the Kund, because Kund are just going to do what Kund do in the DC universe, and they just conquer everything they come across. Apparently, this particular race's capacity for evil to defend themselves against the Kund is non-existent. So he has invented this machine to infect other people on Earth and withdraw the evil from them to take it into themselves so they can just fight against the Kund and come up with clever ways to get rid of them and so on and so forth. But this process kills anybody who's impacted by it. They manage to escape and go back to Earth, and they realize that it's actually an infection. So they have to track down everybody who was on the plane, and then they realize that they themselves are infected and have to fight each other's shadow versions. they realize that these two shadows, while evil and having similar powers and ability to overcome them, they're not very good at working together like Hal and Barry were earlier when they managed to escape to fight back against the alien who had taken them. So they basically pull the same trick and trap them so that they can't work their way out of the same trap that Barry and Hal were in previously. And they disappear into the ether. Hal updates the Guardians on everything that's been going on so they can keep an eye out and maybe help with the Kun situation over on that other planet. And then they split apart. Barry goes back to Iris, and Hal goes back to his womanizing ways out on the beach doing his thing, taking a stroll with Tom. And you know what? There are two very similar parallel conversations about, you know, what do you guys see in each other? And, you know, I don't know. I have no idea, but they're starting to figure it out. They're obviously early in their journey to becoming friends and Brave and the Bold style heroes. The next issue, Kid Lantern.
It was fun. I thought overall, I definitely enjoyed this issue. It was good that you got to see the early days of Hal and Barry, that they really haven't hung out before, not one on one, so outside of work, if you will. So this is kind of cool seeing the difference, the clear difference between the two of them. And even with the shadow demon thing, and the shadow duplicates, how you have the guy that, like, the pilot or whatever on the plane who was being threatened, and he's Hal's rival, and he's the one who's kind of telling Carol at first that, oh yeah, it's like, you know, I said no one's hijacking this plane, mister, and stuff like that. And then as he's about, you know, he's kind of getting taken over, about to be taken over by the shadow thing, he confesses, no, basically I cried like a little bitch. No. It's like, yeah, it was fun. I think it was a good way to hit the ground running, I think, as far as this whole series. I think it kind of gives you a blueprint for what's going to happen as far as what they're trying to accomplish, I should say. And I think it's solid. It's solid to make you want to read the next issue, especially with the Kid Lantern tagline trying to pull you in.
Yeah, for sure. I think it starts off very strong just by the title page, because we have the split down the middle of this, their kind of the profile hero bust shot, but also a recreation of both of their origins. Just the level of detail just in that little small piece of the page that shows the origins of them both, the amount of detail in the splashing chemicals over Barry, and the amount of detail in the wreckage of Abin Sur's ship on that page, that's just crazy. So you get a real feel of Silver Age stuff right up front, real quality. And then, you know, you get this short intro, and then I just think it's funny because he's like, it seemed like a good idea. Barry and I get along well as Flash and Green Lantern in the Justice League. I thought it'd be fun to see if we could maintain that same camaraderie off the job. So, like, this idea that Hal had is like, oh, I maybe got a new friend, let's try it out. It's like almost as Silver Age of an idea, I think, as teleporting Barry through the phone line with his ring.
Plus using the public phone, because that's all you had. That's all you had. You were lucky you had that, assuming you had a dime or a quarter. Back then, it probably was still a dime. It was very Silver Agey, but that was the point. But it wasn't pure goofy Silver Agey, but it did feel like it belonged in the era that they were setting it in. And it, like I said, I think it's a good opening salvo for doing a mini series chronicling the relationships between Green Lanterns and Flashes.
Yeah, 100% to the space side of the equation. Yeah, so the space stuff, I like. That was also just a Silver Agey. I actually went to look, and Doragians and Sar-Ar, the character we meet, these are made up. We never see these again. This is not a reference to a species we got introduced in some random Silver Age issue back in the day. This is This is just as made up as any alien species would have been if this were an actual Silver Age issue, which is interesting because the character sort of looks like Martian Manhunter meets a Romulan, but I'm not as familiar with classic Star Trek. Did Romulans in the classic Star Trek have the tattoos that they had in the J.J. Abrams first movie, or were those just the tattoos for that
movie? Oh, God, you're asking me. I want to say no, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I don't really 100% remember.
I just think I see Alien with tattooed head. I think Romulans from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek first film. So, but yeah, it looks like that crossed with Martian Manhunter, and instead of green, he's like got gray skin. I that's kind of what he looked like to me. I thought the idea of the thing that was holding Barry and Hal captive was impossible for them to phase through in any type of way because the molecules has no pattern for Barry to slip through. So Hal coming up with the idea of using his energy to interrupt and change the pattern of the field they're being captured in, so Barry then can then use his power to slip through it, is just, that's cool.
Yes. I agree. I think it was a, plus it was good. Good collaboration, working together, putting their heads together.
I also like the very Silver Age feel of when they first arrive. Barry's like, let's go, but Hal's like, nope, got to do our duties. I forget how uptight Hal was back in the day. Like, he's so fly by the seat of his pants, and they give him that personality trait so hard these days. You forget that this is the same guy who, you know, Ollie gave shit for being such hard and fast to the rules type of person back in the day, because he's so go that his fearlessness and his impulsiveness supposedly means he has no appreciation for the rules anymore. But him being like, no, I got to go through some procedures. We got to make sure we can't spread diseases. I got to report in all of that stuff that he's like, you know, he can't just go in willy nilly, Barry. I gotta check some boxes here.
Yeah, it is a little interesting dichotomy there.
The Silver Age issue of like communicating and checking in with the Guardians. Like, we are so used to the Guardians being evil little shits that we've sort of lost the thing from the mythos of, you know, the immortal blue man you have to report into. Now it's whether it's John Stewart or whether it's Joe or whether it's Jessica. Now, like, we're checking in with other humans and people who don't have this perspective that's hard for us to understand. And this knowledge base, you know, where, yeah, we've in recent history, that knowledge base has become used to like, oh, they're keeping secrets, but you know, what if they were back to being benevolent guardians for once? And we got this part of the mythos back where they're like, okay, I'm going to check in. I'm going to tell them what I experienced. And like, I'm not going to then be the one to chase down the Kund and go into this whole damn story arc where I'm the one taking care of this problem. I'm checking in on an experience I had. Here you go. I have alerted you. Now you send out the necessary resources to keep an eye on what's happening in this other sector. Because nowadays, if we told the story, I think the next issue would be following to see what the hell's going on with the Kund.
Yeah, so that's a plus. I mean, the Kund isn't as bad as the Durlans, but they're in the same neighborhood. It also was funny with the fact that with Barry being surprised that Hal has to, quote unquote, do paperwork for the Guardians. Like, the Green Lanterns do paperwork? It's like, well, paperwork relatively, as you know, as Hal's having like a this Zoom meeting with a Guardian via his power battery. And this is what happened, man. I'm telling you.
it's such a nostalgic feeling to read something that's this rooted in just classic GL, because the idea that Hal would remember in the first place that he had to check in and report in and just make his report with the Guardians or Selak or whoever, that would never happen these days. The Guardians being somebody you want to check in with to begin with. You know, Hal stopping to make sure that he's not, you know, going to inadvertently cause a political upheaval on this new planet that he's never experienced before. I'm just making sure that him and Barry are sealed off so they don't introduce any pathogens, or let me send out a sensor just to kind of scout the area. Like, none of that stuff would happen today.
No, no, it's not. And the way things are going, it probably would have taken like 8 issues for us to find out what's to deal with the shadow people.
No, I like this. This really sets the tone for the series to come. The series to come can get more zanier, you know, and obviously we're not going to dig too far into it, but like, it can get zanier, it can get funnier. It's not always rooted in very Silver Age, you know, nostalgia feel, but there's this sense of honoring the history and the characterization of not just Hal and Barry, but the relationship between Flashes and Green Lanterns, and the era in which they, because it says, you know, the inspiration behind this story literally says John Broom, Carmine Infantino, Gil Kane, and Julie Schwartz. It'd be one thing just to name the individual writers and artists, but to name the editor who made sure to bring in these interpretations of these Golden Age characters into the Silver Age and adapt it for a new era and credit him as part of that. Yeah, I know I'm a Julie Schwartz super fan, and we'll fawn over him every chance I get. But like, that's the fact that it's an ode to that entire era and not just the writers and artists, but the people who birthed that. I don't know. I think this is a really great one for us all to cover for GL June.
No, I do too. I think it was a good choice. It definitely was a good choice, and it was a fun start. So I'm glad it probably wasn't really a quote unquote less than desirable issue to get in this series. I mean, or undesirable issue to get. So, but I think we definitely, circumstances certainly helped us as far as getting the first issue in it. So it's a nice way to begin this event.
For sure. Anything else we want to say about it before we go into tell everybody where the rest of the GL June can be found?
No, I mean, I liked the artwork too. I thought the artwork was appropriate for the, again, how it's based on what it's representing and everything else. I thought the artwork on its own is fine, but it also does. It does have enough Silver Age qualities to it, but yet not so Silver Agey that it might turn a lot of modern readers off. So I think they thought that was another plus to the way this was handled.
For sure. I think that's Tom Payer and Barry Kitson, right?
That would be both. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So, yeah, real crisp lines on all of this. I think that might be Digital Chameleon's work. But yeah, these were more like prestige format issues, right? These weren't like actual issues. I didn't go, I got the digitals, guys. I didn't go try and, because I don't have the out of print trade for this. I know I have the issues, but I didn't want to go digging through my boxes. But if I remember right, aren't these like they have like a little spine to them?
I think so, especially if you look at the page count, because this is a trade, we don't have the ads.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's even throwing in the alternate covers, and we know there's other stuff that they give you script pages and everything else, but it still looks like it's if you go from the actual story doesn't begin to page 11 of this graphic novel, and it ends at around 32, so it might not have been, it's certainly from a pure page length perspective, it was not necessarily much, doesn't look like it was that much longer, but I do think it was prestige format. I do think it was.
Yeah. But this is GL June. And GL June, if you don't remember or are new for this fourth year of GL June, is a podcast crossover event between us and the other Lantern content producers across the internet. Just getting together and we all tell a piece of the story. So this is one of six. Your next episode, in your next issue, will be covered by Ralph over at Lanterns Live. Lanterns Live typically is YouTube based, so that would be live streams, and then obviously if you happen to miss the live stream, the recorded version will be up available for you after the live stream broadcast is finished. But Ralph will be going over that. Lanterns Live over the past year or two has been, he's been really, you know, working on graphics and staying on top of issues and news information and just kind of bringing conversation to everything that's been going on, especially with the Lanterns TV show and everything. Just making sure to have a topic and a forum to for people to discuss things and just doing the live show. And Ralph, we decided to bring it. We all decided to bring him on this year because he's among us now. So he'll be handling issue 2 here in a couple of days. So check out Lanterns Live over on YouTube. And then the following issues will be covered by Dan, issue 3 over at Mosaic Comics. We have issue 4, which will be Donnie and Adam over at Emerald Echo. We have issue 5 by Will over at Green Lanterns Podcast. And then the end of it, at the end of the month, we'll wrap up with Myron and Phil over at the Podcast of Oa for issue 6.
Should be a fun ride.
1 month, 6 issues, the core assembles.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, I went all in on marketing. aside from financially, I didn't put any advertising behind this.
I went all in other than being a cheap bastard.
So it's always fun to do this. I thought it was funny because this was Mark's idea, GL June, also inspired by JL May, which a lot of podcasters, comic podcasters, have been doing for a long time. And we once upon a time participated in and still might in the future. It just depends year by year what we got on the calendar, what's being covered for JL May, so on and so forth. But GL June sprung out of that, primarily Mark's idea, and it's just been fun. I also remember, at one point reading I think it was like a review for the Podcast of Oa on iTunes and them shit talking the Lantern Cast. And like, I never took that personally. And this was a while back. So I don't know if this was Jim and Dan stuff or not. It's hard to remember, but I never took it personally. I just thought it was funny, this idea that we had to compete with each other in some way, shape, or form when we're all like, we're all so into not only the exact same comic, like we're not all just into comics, we're into DC Comics, and we're into a very specific franchise within DC Comics. Why wouldn't we have more in common than we have apart? So this idea of joining together and just looping in everybody to do something together was fun. And I've been having fun with it here now in our fourth year. So kudos to you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But the answer to your question is it's 2026, Chad. That's the reason why people don't expect people to get along. Just ask Jackson Dart. The reality is, yeah, it's like, well, even if you have something in common, people kind of expect, there's two ways of looking at it. Either people expect, oh, it's got to be, let's zero in on the differences, as always. Let's zero in on what they don't have in common so that we can pick our favorite. Or is the fact that, oh, if we like the same thing, that means we all have to have the same view on everything all the time. But no, that's not the way the world works.
Myron's not looking forward to Lanterns. Chad is. They must hate each other.
Well, okay, that's true, but Chad's point is essentially true regardless. Myron's hate for Chad is completely irrelevant to Chad's point. The show is a good example that there's a varying degree of how pumped people are and how cautious people are towards that show still. So we'll see. But yes, we're living proof that yes, we can. What brings us together is more important than what keeps us apart.
For sure. So I put out the schedule, and so everybody's just releasing in a window. So I'm going to give you guys the windows. We are obviously releasing between June 1st and June 5th. The Lanterns Live, I believe I remember Ralph last time I spoke with him said something about June 8th, but he should be coming out with part 2 sometime between June 6th and June 10th. Dan will be releasing his part 3 between June 11th and June 15th. Donnie and Adam will be doing their thing for Emerald Echo sometime between the 16th and the 20th. Will will be doing Green Lantern's podcast for part 5 between the 21st and the 25th. And Myron and Phil over at Podcast of O will be releasing their thing between June 26th and June 30th. We all got a little window to release our stuff in, so we release it in order, and it'll take throughout the entire month of June. You will have continuous Green Lantern content from one of the six of us.
Enjoy, people.
Enjoy. And I think that's going to do it. That was the main event. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, especially if you're new here.
Yes, we appreciate anybody who listens to us, especially, well, not especially, let me backtrack from that. We appreciate everybody who listens to us, whether this is your first time or whether you've been with us for a long, long, long time. And Lord knows, we've been doing this in one way, shape, or form. Somebody's been doing the show for a long time.
18 years this September.
Oh, my God. We definitely need an exit strategy. This is like the Vietnam War of podcasts.
Get them the chopper.
or it's like the MASH of podcasts. Other than I don't think our quality is as high as most as MASH was overall.
Oh, we can't play it. We can't play the music, but we'll get copyright struck.
Probably. Even if we hum it, we might get nailed. But the fact that the MASH only lasted like about like 8 or 9 times.
They finally put MASH on Fandango at Home, by the way. I've been looking for MASH, but it's like every time I go to buy it, it's like $50 to $60. And I'm like, it's digital only. I'm not spending that much.
Yeah, because that's risky. But since my only point was that MASH was like about 3 to 4 times the actual length of the actual Korean War, how long that show went on. But yes, so if people do want to reach out to us, the website is lanterncast.com. The email is lanterncast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. Use hashtag GLcast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Oh, Spotify. Podbean, wherever you listen to us on, please leave us a positive review. Our YouTube channel is Lanterncast Vids. If you'd like our Discord information, you could reach out to us either via email. That's probably the best way, lanterncast@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708-LANTERN, and let us know what you think.
I'll add, too, just because we have the added ears for GL June. If anybody happens to leave us a review, whether it's Apple Podcast or Spotify or anywhere, email us and let us know. It's been a long time since we've received a new review. And 2, because we don't get notified when there is a new one. So if you are going through the effort to actually leave us a review somewhere, I would like the opportunity to acknowledge that on the air. So if anybody out there is interested in leaving us a review wherever you're listening to us on, first of all, thank you. And second of all, please email us and let us know so we can read it on the air and give proper credit, because that's awesome and we appreciate that.
Yes, we definitely appreciate everybody who takes the time to leave us a review. We want to give you your props when you do that.
For sure. All right. Good night, everybody. And make sure you tune in to Lanterns Live over on YouTube here in a couple of days.
Jail June forever. Good night, everybody.
Good night.